Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A fascinating new report has just been published at the largest seafood show in America, which describes in detail the importance of salmon farming. Indeed, with the world's population soaring and food output and food security becoming ever more important, farming the sea is an area set to get more attention. The Irish Farmers Association is well aware of the opportunities, notably in coastal rural areas, and it has been supportive of a sector that has considerable scope to expand. So what exactly has the report been saying? I've been speaking with one man who is certainly to the forefront of this sector. Richie Flynn of the Irish Salmon Growers Association, you're in Boston and you've been at a major seafood show which has outlined the vast potential that exists for countries like Ireland.
Well, I think on the seafood side, Chris, certainly the potential is there. Ireland didn't have a stand at the show, remarkably, but there were a lot of different companies there who are looking at the North American market and are seeing for the first time, I suppose, in a good number of years, a great opportunity both in the United States and in Canada for exports of Irish fish. The common complaint amongst both the Irish exporters and the people who want to buy from us is, can't you get us any more? We would love to get more shellfish and salmon and wild fish from Ireland. So it's a good position to be in a way, but it's also frustrating sometimes. And our report that we launched at the show, along with the other salmon farming countries around the world, certainly showed that this is a microcosm of an issue regarding food and the availability of food and the role of seafood in global food production, what that's going to be all about over the next 10, 20 years.
Now, Richie, you've been involved with the Irish Salmon Growers Association, the IFA, so I suppose must be two decades ago, actually set up a specific section within the IFA because fish farming is connected to farming on land. And looking at the report, I mean, there are questions about just how much more can be done on land. But in terms of the sea and in terms of actual salmon farming, considerable scope exists in Ireland and in places like Donegal.
Well, I think certainly it's no criticism of land farming. As the old saying goes, it's fantastic, but God isn't making any more of it. And there are more efficiencies to be got in land farming, and I think the withdrawal of milk quotas will see an amazing increase in efficiency amongst our dairy farmers, for instance. But in the sea, we're really only at the tip of the iceberg. I mean, if you think that in the world we can produce an industry in salmon that can produce nearly 15 billion meals, individual meals, every single year from just under 300 hectares of production. That's a remarkable figure, and it just shows what can be done. That's not super intensive farming. That's at stocking densities which qualify in the main as organic. You're talking about 1% of fish to 99% of water in those farms. But to meet the demands of the global population rising, then different types of aquaculture as well as salmon have to be looked at. And Ireland, just look at the map. We're absolutely in pole position to take advantage of where we are, right on the western tip of the Atlantic. And Donegal is a case in point. Look at all the fantastic bays that are there. If they're looked after, if people realise the potential that we have and support the industry, both our shellfish industry and our salmon industry, then we can have a major employer in rural Donegal and in coastal areas, which, to be honest, we've seen a lot of industries try and fail in the past.
Now, in terms of just where Ireland is vis-a-vis other countries, Most of us will be aware that there's farmed salmon coming from places like Scotland and Norway, and in South America it's a growth area. Where does Ireland rank at the moment?
Well, we all started from the same point, Chris. Back in the late 70s, everybody was farming a few ton here and a few ton there. So there was no real difference between Ireland and Norway and Chile and Scotland. We were all really operating on a few thousand tons. Norway is now producing well over a million tons of salmon. Chile is producing well over 500,000 tons. The Canadians are doing the same. We are producing now, to put it into context, every year we're producing what Norway would produce in maybe 3-4 days. That's our annual production of about 12,000 tons. So really, that's there's fantastic potential. One of the things, obviously, that's held us back is that we don't have a coastline like Norway. I mean, that's inevitable. But the other thing that's held us back has been a real challenge in getting successive governments to realise that looking out to sea, where there's 10 hectares of national territory for every man, woman and child in this country, we have a huge potential to expand our food industry and expand our exports for the good of the whole country.
Now, despite our small production, Richie, Ireland has been a leader since the early days of sea farming, and we have had many innovations here in offshore and organic farming techniques.
Well, we're very proud of what we do. I mean, even with that small production, I mean, we know how important salmon farming is to a county like Donegal. For instance, between Marine Harvest and Gallagher Brothers and other companies that depend upon them, I mean, you're talking about several hundred jobs in Donegal alone. The innovations that we've seen have come from the fact that we really are at the cutting edge. We're battling the Atlantic right out there. Norwegian farmers would never experience the kind of weather, the kind of seas that we take for granted. And that's why we went into offshore farming in the 1990s. And we also, to try and move away from the commodity market, to avoid having to try and compete directly with the really big players, we looked at our production and we said, hey, we can try a different system here, and let's look at going organic. Let's go at lowering our stocking densities even more. Let's look at the feed that we're using. Let's look at other ways that we can put in an audit trail that's independently certifiable, that the top supermarkets and buyers in Europe will look at and say, we want some of that. We want some organic Irish salmon. And ever since we've made that decision, then our fish have been in huge demand, and in huge price demand in Europe.
Many people would be aware of Clare Island organic salmon, and it, I suppose, is one of the flagships, one of the examples to be shown.
Well, Clare Island started it all, really, and it's a remarkable story about an island that really was on its knees back in the late 80s and early 90s, through sheer guts, determination and foresight of the people there, and in Achill Island as well, in County Mayo, the people there said, we want a farm here, and we want to provide jobs. And that's the knock-on and spin-off effects of that can be seen still to this day on the island, and hopefully will grow in the future. The same could be said. I mean, you don't have to go too far, Chris, look at the Fannet Peninsula, where salmon farming has complemented the traditional farming and fishing practices in that area, where families now, I know men and women in that part of the world who are now the second generation people working in farms, people celebrating 20 and 25 years working for the same company on the same sites. I mean, that's a company that's given tremendously to the community and is here for the long haul.
I'm talking with Irish Salmon Growers Association Executive Richie Flynn, and he's been in America for the International Salmon Farmers Association's launch of their first report of scientifically supported facts showing the sector's global employment, environment and food contribution. This report, Richie, very, very influential. Who's going to be reading it? And I suppose the hope is, who's going to take action as a result from it?
Well, I certainly hope, Chris, that our minister takes a good read of it and has a long, hard think about where Ireland can be positioned. I mean, it's time we in Ireland made a decision. Either we can watch from the sidelines while the rest of the world, you know, goes on to win the game, or we can participate in that. And, you know, I know people in this industry, they want to be out there. They want to tug out for Ireland, and they want to tug out on behalf of the industry and their own jobs. And it's frustrating when you're not, when we feel like we're stuck on the bench and have been there for the last two decades, simply because of licensing and the fact that, as I said before, the government just doesn't seem to pay attention to the importance of having year-round jobs in coastal areas. And I think what the report does is it starkly shows that there's plenty of other communities around the world, very, very remote places, be it in Canada, in Chile, in Norway even, that reached the same conclusion, that they said, OK, we have to shout stop here. We're not going to invent any more land. The fishing industry has reached a certain limit, as everybody is will admit. So what are we going to do here? And what are we going to do with our skills? What are we going to do with the generations of people in this area and all of the generational experience in both industries? And aquaculture really, even though it's maybe a 50-year-old industry, we're making a start on that now. When you consider that on the land, really, only four or five species like cattle and sheep and et cetera, and goats and that are actually farmed. That's as a result of 5,000 years of agriculture. We're now starting learning all the time what are the best type of fish to farm, where should we farm them. It's a huge learning curve, and it's one that won't be over for hundreds of years probably. But Ireland is there at the beginning, and as I've made, we're proud to have been there at the beginning. It makes sense for us to be there as an island nation. I think, you know, the future is very, very exciting, especially for young people who are interested in both the science of it and the farming, and also, you know, everything from working in the fresh air and working with the sea and working on the land in our freshwater facilities. I mean, as an industry, it's got everything as well, from an employment point of view, from a job satisfaction point of view, as well as the permanency of having a year-round job. So, you know, aquaculture is part of the mix. Nobody should be arrogant enough to say we're the solution for every single problem. I wouldn't say that. Nobody would. But it's a new, interesting, potentially very, very important part of saving parts of rural Ireland and coastal Ireland that really are struggling at the moment.
Richie Flynn there. Just before I give you some cattle prices, the IFA President Eddie Downey has said that the closing date for the 2015 EU Basic Payment Application, that's the area-based schemes, can be extended to June. He said this would provide necessary breathing space for farmers and advisors, but it cannot result in any delay in payments later in the year. Mr. Downey said the extension in the application deadline from May the 15th to June will also help to maximise GLAS applications. He acknowledged that there is still a lot of confusion in relation to the implementation of the new CAP rules for 2015, and farmers must be given adequate time to take the necessary steps to maximise their payments. He said Agricultural Minister Simon Coveney must seize this opportunity to extend the closing date in line with what is happening in other EU countries. Now, some national livestock prices. Steers, €4.10 to €4.15 a kilo. Heifers, €4.15 a kilo to €4.20 a kilo. U-grade bulls making €4.15 to €4.20 a kilo. And R-grade cows making €3.75 to €3.85 a kilo. And sheep prices. Hog guts up to 24 kilos, making €6.10 to €6.20 a kilo. Spring lamb up to 20 kilos, making €6.50 a kilo. Ewes making €3.50 to €3.60 a kilo. Well, the clock has beaten us again. Thanks for listening. From me, Chris Ashmore, have a very good evening.